You stand up now, I'm going to say, where are you going? What are you doing? All right. Just going to read a couple things here. These are really bad analogies written by high school students. He was as tall as a 6'3" tree. Her face was a perfect oval, like a circle that had its two sides gently compressed by a thigh master. Picture that, if you will. Her vocabulary was as bad as, like, whatever. The lamp just sat there like an inanimate object. She grew on him like, she grew on him like she was a colony of E. coli and he was a room temperature Canadian beef. Sounds like they got a hold of some of my papers. All right, sports quotations. Doug Sanders, professional golfer. I'm working as hard as I can to get my life and my cash to run out at the same time. If I can just die after lunch Tuesday, everything will be perfect. This is Harry Neal, a professional hockey coach. Last year we couldn't win at home, and we were losing on the road. My failure as a coach was that I couldn't think of any place else to play. Let's see. This is E.J. Holub, a Kansas City Chiefs linebacker. He had 12 knee operations. My knees look like they lost a knife with a midget, a knife fight with a midget. Vic Braden, the tennis instructor. My theory is that if you buy an ice cream cone and make it hit your mouth, you can learn to play. If you stick it on your forehead, your chances aren't as good. Let's see. This is my favorite. Al Hrabowski, Major League Relief Pitcher. When I'm on the road, my greatest ambition is to get a standing boo. Sounds like the Twins games. Yeah, right. All right, let's turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 7 tonight. Got a lot to say, so if you listen quickly, we might get through this quicker. Proverbs chapter 7. While you're turning there, I'm just going to read a verse out of James. James chapter 1. Familiar verses, these first two here I'm going to read. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's a pretty good statement, verse 16. That's one you could put on the wall. That's one you could put anywhere in your house. Just a reminder, do not err, my beloved brethren. What a warning. What a thing this is. Let's pray here before we start. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come here and teach your word tonight. I thank you for a group of people here that have been well taught over the years. This may be a lot of reviewing for them. I pray that it's not boring. I pray that someone's life might be changed tonight. I don't know. I know it helped me a lot, and Lord, I just want to share what you showed me. And Lord, I pray that your word would go forth tonight and not my ideas. And we thank you for this time. In your name, amen. Okay. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. I read these first four verses and I picture a father and his son. And they're sitting there and he's trying to teach him something. Trying to teach him something really important. He wants to get something across. He's really trying to make his point across. He just keeps saying, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Listen to me now. Listen, look at me in the eyes. Look at me in the eyes. Listen to what I'm saying. This is really important. And I picture that all the time. You know, the kid's eyes are straying away and, yeah, Dad, what do you want to say? You know, what are you trying to say here? But it's so important, and it reminds me of a scripture in Psalm 118. I'll read it for you real quick. 118, 10, verses 10 through 12. It says, this is David talking. He says, all nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Pretty plain verse, you know. You know, most churches say, oh, that's good, amen. Yeah. But then he goes on. They compassed me about. Yea, they compassed me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Okay, all right. Next verse. They compassed me about like bees. He's trying to get his point across. He's just like, listen to me. This is how bad it was, and this is how good the Lord was. It was a bad situation. It wasn't just people standing around me. They were all over the place. They were like bees. I was just like surrounded. And I can conquer them through the Lord. And I see that in this passage, it stuck out to me like, keep my words, keep my commandments, bind them on thy fingers, tie them about thy neck. You know, he's trying to get a point, because why? You know, I just see the son saying, okay, Dad, I get it. Why are you telling me this? Go to verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. From the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, whether you like to admit it tonight, every one of us in here has a strange woman in his life. Now, wives, don't look at your husbands. That's not what we're talking about here. But you have a strange woman in your life. And I think you'll see what I'm talking about as we go through this chapter. We have a lot to cover, but everyone here has a strange woman in your life. And the first, we're going to go through these verses and you're going to see the characteristics that apply to a strange woman. You're going to see these characteristics. Verse 5, first thing, she flattereth with her words. Do you have any pet sins in your life? How about it says in Hebrews 12:1, the sin that so easily doth beset us? You got anything like that in your life? Anything that's flattering, if something from that sin flatters you, it catches you like that? And you're like, man, I did it again. Can't believe it. Man, living. What an idiot. I fell for that stinking thing again just because of the flattering words. But it gets worse. You know, it's flattering words. And it says it again in chapter 2, verse 16. It says it again, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even with the stranger which flattereth with her words. Again in 6:24. To keep thee from the evil woman from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Verse 21 of chapter 7, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, with the flattering of her lips she forced him. Four times it talks about this strange woman has flattering in her lips. You know, I get it at work a lot of times. Working with the inmates, they'll come up and say, you know, they heard I was 50 years old this past week. Man, you're 50? Oh, you don't look like you're 40. I'm like, well, yeah, you know. Hey, by the way, can you do me a favor? Yeah, okay, I see where you're going with that. All right? The flattery, trying to get you to listen, draw you in, and listen to what they got to say. Yeah, well, you say I'm 40, I'll give you whatever you want. You know, that's pretty cool. But anyway, so flattering lips, that's just an attribute of the strange woman. What's a strange woman in your life tonight? Think about it. What's the pet sin that so easily doth beset you? What's the thing that it does that draws you in and gets you to commit that sin again? Verse 6 through 8, it describes the strange woman's target and her prey. This is an eyewitness account by Solomon. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, wrong place, and he went the way to her house, the wrong area, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night, wrong time of day. Wrong place, wrong time, simple, lacking understanding. Lacking understanding, remember pastor preaching Job 28:28? Lack of understanding means you're not fleeing evil. You're not departing from evil. You're going to it. You're going to it. You're going right where this strange woman lives. It's the wrong place to be, and she's looking for that. She's looking for it. A strange woman. Amazing thing. Are you staying in the book tonight? Did you read the first four verses? Keep my words. Keep my commandments. Tie them about your fingers. You know, put them wherever you can so you'd never forget my words. It'll keep you from this strange woman. She's lurking in the streets. Chapter 6, verse 26 again. By means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. She's not after someone who's already there, living by her, and living next door to her, or hangs out in the neighborhood all the time. She's not looking. She's looking for a precious life. Someone, when they fall for the strange woman or the flattering words of the strange woman, it's going to cause a lot of damage. Looking for that precious life. Precious life. Verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, it describes what time she goes to work. She goes at dark, at night, secretive. Nobody's going to see me. I'm going to go when they can't see me so I can get them. I can catch them off guard. Anyway, when I go at night, when I think of night, I think of going to bed. I get tired. You know, they say nothing good happens after, you know, after 10 o'clock or whatever. Man, for me, it's getting to be like 8. You know, I'm going to bed. I want to go to bed. But the more tired I get, that seems to be when that strange woman comes up and starts whispering in my ear. And these thoughts start coming in my head, things I shouldn't be thinking. I start thinking about things. How about you walk into Walmart or any store for that matter, and it always seems like the manager knows you're coming. Here comes Todd. Oh, I know the music he used to listen to in the 80s. And there it is. It's right there. And before you know it, I'm walking around and I'm starting to mouth the words of these songs, and all of a sudden these memories start coming back of when those songs used to play, when I used to listen to those songs. It's so clear. And sometimes my son or my daughter will nudge me and they'll go, "Is that a Todd tape?" And I go, "Yeah, sorry. You know, yeah, it is." And isn't it amazing though? You hear those songs played, and you can picture yourself in a spot where you were when you listened to that song. And the people you were with. Unbelievable. That's what the Word of God, that's what he's trying to say here. That's what should happen when we hear the Word of God played. Or when we hear it read, or maybe you listen to it on cassette, or pastor preaches it and he reads the scripture and be like, "I remember hearing that verse. I read that this week. I had a question about it. I remember a time when we were sitting around the fire talking about questions we had about Scripture. And I remember that verse." That's how you want. That just as that music is in our brains and brings back memories, that's what the Word of God needs to do to us. That's what he's saying. Keep my words. Keep them ever before you so you never forget it. And it brings back good memories, fond memories that you'll never regret, that you'll never regret. So we go verse 10. Let's go on. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a subtle heart. Verse 10, attire of a harlot. Genesis 38 gives the account of Judah and Tamar. She changed her attire, and when he went into that town to see and saw her there, he thought she was a harlot. She changed her clothes. We've seen it downtown when you're street preaching. You see it down by used to be Hennepin Avenue, used to be the worst area. I don't know if it still is or not. Anybody else go down there? No, just kidding. No time for confession here, you know. No, but you see what they're wearing down there. They're not shy at all what they're wearing down there. It's something to get your attention. The attire of a harlot. Maybe it's a billboard. Something you used to do. Maybe it's a drink you used to prefer when you used to drink. You're driving on the road and there's that strange woman up there. Tanqueray and tonic. Jack Daniels. Miller Lite. Watching a football game. It's all beer and sex and on the commercials. And then they flash back with the cheerleaders and you're like, man, the attire of a harlot. You know, it's unbelievable. And then they show these guys pouring these ice cold beers into a glass and memories. Boy, you gotta get away from that. How are you in the book? That's what he's saying. Are you in the book? You gotta stay in the book. You gotta read the Bible. You gotta make it real. You gotta obey my commandments. Do this. Tie it on your fingers. Carry 3x5 cards of scripture with you. So it's keep you from that stuff. It can be fresh in your head. Fresh in your head. This can, a strange woman, you know what's crazy? In the NIV it says adulterous woman. You can't go there with that. Adulterous woman is an adulterous woman. But a strange woman can be anything. It can be anything that drags you down. I know guys that, and there's nothing wrong with this, they redo old cars and they make them look nice and everything. And what do they say? Isn't she a beauty? It's not he. It's a strange woman to some of these guys. That's their baby. It's never, isn't he a beauty? Yeah, you stay there over there with your other guy there. That's good. Verse 10 also says subtle of heart. Subtle, elusive, cunning, crafty, shrewd. The devil's not stupid. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what gets you to fall. And that's what he puts on the sides of the roads. That's what he puts on the radio commercials, on the TV commercials. That's what he gets people around you at work talking about. So it triggers something in there and that strange woman starts coming back again. There it is. Man, stay in the book. Stay in the book. Crafty, cunning, shrewd, subtle of heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Above all things. She's not there for you. She's not looking out for anything about you. She wants you to fall. The strange woman wants you to fall. Verse 11. She is loud. She's going to get your attention. I see these brassy women, and it just, tell you what, they rub me the wrong way. Just, you know, hey, you over there! You know, it's like, oh, brother, go back in your house. My lands, you know, but they're going to, you know, you see it, you know, the, hey, baby, you want a good time? Hey, you, hey! Hey, why don't you, hey, how long has it been since we had a drink together? Hey, baby, they're loud. And then it says they're stubborn. They're not going to go away. They're going to keep after you. They're stubborn. Anybody know anybody that's stubborn? Yeah. I think we all can relate to that. I'm not stubborn at all. I'm a good guy. Yeah, she's loud. She's stubborn. She wants to get your attention. She's not going to let you walk by and just, you know, maybe we should be like that handing out tracts. Hey, you need a gospel track. Hey, 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 and just follow them right down the street. I'm not going to leave you until you take one of these tracks, brother. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Come back over here. Listen to what I got to say. Let me show you a verse out of the Bible. Hey, come here. Don't walk away from me. Come here. Change your life. Try to pull out a gun, you know. Yeah, boom. All right, thanks. All right, but they're stubborn. She's at every corner. Verse 12. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. What does that make you think of? Lieth in wait. A lion? Well, she has the attributes of somebody we know really well. She lieth in wait. You know, a lion looks for he watches the herd. He looks for the weak ones. He doesn't look for the one that's way out front, you know, galloping along. I can outrun you. Come on. You got the one behind, you know, like me after running a 40-yard dash. That's what he's looking for. But he's looking for the weak Christian. Maybe a newborn Christian. She's looking for the precious life. Maybe you're saved and you're backslidden. How much more can I stick a dagger in this guy? I can devour this one. Devour and spit out the bones. All done with that one. She lieth in wait, like she's going to pounce. You know, you're walking down the street, all of a sudden, hey! Hey, baby! What's going on? You're driving down the road on the way home, and all of a sudden you look and see that billboard. Oh, whoa, didn't mean to see that. Thoughts. All of a sudden you press in radio station. Boom, the song comes on. Oh, memories. Oh, know exactly. He knows exactly what to put in your way. He knows exactly what to put. The strange woman, there she is. There she is. She won't leave me alone. She's loud. She's stubborn. She's at every corner. You also notice in verses 11, 12, she's not at home. She's out in the streets. You ever know that the phrase, home is where the heart is? Where's her heart? She's out to destroy something. So she's not going to do that in her house. The Bible says you're supposed to be keepers at home. Evidently, she's not serving God, or she wouldn't be out in the streets. This thing is going to be out where the action is. This is going to be out where the lives are, the people that she wants to see. She knows what she's looking for. She's not stupid. She's got the attributes of the devil himself. She's crafty, cunning. She's looking to destroy your life. She knows exactly what it is that destroys it. She's not at home. She's not where she's supposed to be, taking care of things at home. Verses 5, chapter 5, verse 6 says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of her life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. She'll become whatever you want her to be. She'll move to wherever you want to move to. She'll sing whatever you want to hear. She'll tell you stories that you want to hear. She'll tell you things that make it sound good. She's movable. She has no foundation. She has no morals, no conscience. She'll do whatever it takes. She's movable. She's not steadfast. She has nothing to offer you. That's not temporary. She has nothing eternal to offer you. She's movable. Verse 13 says, so she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him, we'll read 14 as well, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. She knows how to get your attention. Can you imagine that, walking on the street, all of a sudden a lady walks out and kisses you? That would get your attention, wouldn't it? It's just, that I was talking about earlier, just a song comes on the radio, pow, there it is. Kissed you, got your attention. Whoa. That'll stop you in your tracks. That'll get your attention. Kissed you. Chapter 6, verse 25 says, lust not after her beauty, not shy. The clothes of a harlot and the loudness and the stubbornness didn't get your attention. So now she resorts to just running up and kissing you right on the chops. Whew. Wow. She doesn't give up. She doesn't give up. How many times do I have to commit this sin before I get it right in my heart? How are you doing in the book? You staying in the Bible? You staying in the Word of God? You keeping the commandments? Are you writing them on the table of your heart? Are you meditating on the Word of God? That's what's going to keep you from the strange woman. We all have them. We all can't. It's hard. It's not easy to get rid of these old thoughts. Those of us who were saved later in life, boy, tell you what, talk about the garbage we drag along. Huh? of the package we're dragging along with us. Unbelievable. The devil knows all about that. 29 years worth of stuff I can keep shoveling at this guy. I got his mind. Whatever I got stuff I can throw at him, and whoo, I got his mind all of a sudden. Unreal. Impudent face. Cocky boldness. That's what it says in the dictionary. Impudent face, a cocky boldness, and a disregard of others. She doesn't care. She wants you to fall. She's after you to fall because she doesn't care about your family. She doesn't care about your job. She doesn't care about the effect it's going to have on your marriage. She doesn't care about the effect it's going to have on the morning after. Doesn't care about killing that moment in your Christian life where you could have been a witness. She doesn't care. She doesn't care about you at all. That's the devil's job. Now that you're saved, he just wants you to live. He doesn't want you to live for Christ. He doesn't want you door knocking. So the strange woman shows up on Saturday morning and says, "Boy, you sure got a lot of work to do around here today. Boy, you sure got some. Boy, maybe you should wash the car. Maybe you should do your nails. Maybe you should do something other. Anything to get you away from doing what you're supposed to do." I understand some people work on Saturdays. I understand some people can't make it. You got things to do. All right, is that a strange woman? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Sometimes it is for me. A lot of times I could come up with an excuse on Saturday morning. Easy. They're getting thrown at me all morning long. Well, you got so much. You got, look at all that yard work you got to do. If you've seen my yard, you know what I'm talking about. You got to clean the garage, you know, and you know your wife's been on you all day about doing that. You know, what in the world? You got to get that done. No, I can't. The Bible says I'm supposed to witness. This is an opportunity for me to go out and witness and talk to people about the Lord. It's a strange woman. It is for me. Verse 14, it makes the product affordable. You know, you go out, it's just like buying a car, and you say, "Wow, I'd sure like to buy that, but I can't afford those monthly payments. Man, living, that's expensive." Well, hey, we can work with you. Let me go talk to the manager. Makes it affordable. Makes it sound good. Makes it sound good. And then later on, when you got to file bankruptcy because you couldn't make the car payments, or you got to bring the car back, or they come and repossess it, you didn't care about that. Maybe that money could have been used for a better purpose. Maybe. You know, I look at new cars and I'm like, well, that's nice. That'd really be nice. Well, that truck would really pull my boat nice. Oh, that'd be great. But that's not what I need. Be content. Is it, how is it, you know, he doesn't, there again, she doesn't care about your family or marriage. "Hey, honey, I just bought a brand new car. What are the payments?" "Well, it's only a $359 a month lease. Get 1,000 miles a month, we're good." "Really? Oh, how are we going to pay for the house?" "Oh, I never thought of that." "Yeah, never thought of those things. How about the insurance?" "Ooh, yeah. Forgot about that too." But they make it affordable. Hey, it's just one night. Just one sip. Hey, it's just one toke, real quick, just to bring back some old memories. "Hey, why don't you come out to the bar the other night, tonight, next Friday? We're going to watch the Vikes lose again. We're going to go out there and watch, just like old times' sake. Huh? Come on, let's go share some old times." Just one sip, one drink, one time, one evening. It could ruin your marriage, ruin your family, ruin your witness for Christ at work, ruin your witness anywhere in the community, but she doesn't care. She doesn't care. Doesn't care at all. Verse 14 again, she's deceptive. "This day have I paid my vows." Hey, I'm in good. I'm honest. Really, I can do this for you. We can make this work. We can make this plan work. Just trust me. Trust me, we can make it work. Verse 15, "Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." She knows what she wants. She knows who she's looking for. Yeah, she came. First she lies, I came out to meet you tonight. No, she came out to meet whoever was the weakest. She came out to meet whoever she could get her foot in the door. Whoever would listen to that music. Whoever would take that drink. Whoever would ruin his life for just one night. That's who she was after. But she'll tell you, I came out here for you tonight. Oh, really? Huh. Hear that, guys? She came out for me. Pride. Just anything, anything to get you to fall. She knows what she wants. Verse 7, beheld among the simple ones, one without understanding. What are you doing down by her place to begin with? The Bible says to stay away from that area. Run, flee, resist. But we still go there, don't we? We still get our spot, we get in the wrong spot where we can be tempted. Man, living, the strange woman just sits, she's at every corner waiting for us to get to that spot. And then she, boop, pops out, pounces out. There she is. Verse 16 and 17, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Oh, wow, that sure sounds good. Appeals to the senses. Appeals to the senses. Boy, that would sure taste good right now. Man, I'm hot. I've been working hard all day. I'm dirty. I feel grimy. Isn't it amazing how a beer commercial comes on at that time? Is that a mistake? Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I don't think so. You're at a tired time in your life and you're at a tired point and you're thinking things you shouldn't think, and all of a sudden that's when something comes on the TV you shouldn't be looking at. Oh, man. That's not a coincidence. That's the strange woman. She's at every corner. Wherever we sit, whatever we're doing, the strange woman is there, just waiting to pounce, waiting to pounce, waiting to pounce. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, it is of the world. This strange woman, all the evidence points that she's just a work, it's just the devil working in your life. He puts these things right in front of you, that lust, those temptations, they're strange women. That once were a part of your life and now shouldn't be. But he starts to throw things at you. Remember those good days? Remember the good old days? Sitting on the beach, having a few brews, enjoying the waves, getting the sun burned beyond belief. Remember those days? Weren't those good times? Doesn't that sound good right now? You know, you see those commercials, Corona Extra on the beach. You know, oh boy, that beach really looks nice. Ice cold beer, oh, if you used to drink, man, oh, if it catches you at the wrong time, that strange woman is right there, boom, knows when you're thinking about it. Knows exactly when you're going to fall, knows exactly when to put it in front of you, knows exactly what words to say. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You just can't shake it. It's going to be there. It's going to be there until we die or we get raptured. Are you staying in the book? Are you keeping His words? Are you laying up My commandments with thee? Are you keeping My commandments? My laws at the apple of thine eye? The Bible, is it bound upon your fingers? Is it written on the table of your heart? That's what's going to keep you from this stuff. I'm sure I've told this before, but I was a Viking fanatic. Hurry up, preacher. Kickoffs in 5 minutes, man. Let's get this ball rolling here. There's a strange woman for you. What are you listening to him for? The Vikings are coming on. Run home. Run red lights, get through stop signs, to watch them lose. Woo! Wow! That was good. Man living. But I'm telling you the truth. The more I stay in this book and I watch these games, the more they start to fade away for me. They have got nothing for me. Nothing. I asked a guy at work yesterday, one of the inmates, I said, what does watching football do for you? And he goes, never thought of that before. Really? What does it do for you? 3 hours. And then the three times you watch SportsCenter to see the highlights over and over and over again. What a waste of time. What a colossal waste of time. It is. I get caught in it all the time. Strange woman. Hey, football. I like watching football. I do. Not like I used to. I like watching golf. You'd be like, really? Yeah. I do. It's fun. I love watching it. And then I get out there thinking I can do what they do, and it just doesn't work that way. But what, and I get done watching, like this year I love watching the Masters golf tournament. That's like my Super Bowl, all right? And I sit there and watch that, and after 2 hours of watching that, this year I sat there and I got done on Saturday, and I was watching, I was like, there had to be something better to be doing right now. What in the world? I could have been playing with my kids in the yard. I could have been doing something for eternity. Really? I'm not trying to be religious here. We're in church, right? We're supposed to talk about spiritual things. Three hours sitting on the couch watching guys swing clubs that don't even know I exist. They don't even give a rip who I am as long as they walk away with their $1.5 million each week. And then we get done watching, it's like, what? Why did I do that? What's the point? Strange woman. That's what it is for me. It's a strange woman. Verse 18, I hasten on. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Test drive. Take it for a test drive. Just this once. Come on. It's just one night. It's dark out. Nobody's going to see you. Nobody's ever going to know. Let's see. I remember reading somewhere, it says, appointed unto man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Every man shall stand and give an account of God. Let's see. Boy, if you read the book, and you stay in the book, and you meditate on it, and get it in your heart, and make it your life, boy, it sure changes a lot of decisions you make. A lot of snap decisions that we make. You know, I could have it right now. Just be paying 25% interest. That's all. I could have it right now, though, and get it done. Or you could wait and let the Lord do something really special in your life and change your kid's life forever. Or your life forever. Change your faith, your trust in God that much more. It's getting tough out there. They don't like us that much anymore in the public. So why not make your foundation that much more thicker? Is that a way to say it? Make your foundation that much more strong, that much more firm. So when the people are making fun of you on the street corners, when people start spitting on us, who knows what's going to happen in the future to Christians? We don't know. Maybe they will start throwing us in jail. The only good thing about this guy in Washington right now is this is his last 4 years. Woo! He can't get back in again. But who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen in this world in the next few years? That you can't preach about that anymore. You can't say that on the street corner. You can't bring a Bible out here. If you keep bringing a Bible out here, we're going to take you to jail. We don't know. It's getting there. It's getting there. How's your foundation? Are you going to be able to be, or do you think spending 3 hours doing nothing is going to make your life that much more strong when the wind starts to blow? We need to start thinking about the future here. We need to start getting these strange women out of our lives and start thinking about the future. We need to get in the book. We need to know this book that much better. That's not right, is it? Hey, English is terrible tonight. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, all you teachers in the congregation. We can edit this, right, Valid? We can edit those words out? Cool. All right. All right, I'm sorry. Verse 19 and 20. For the goodman is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. You know, I thought about this verse this week. I'm just like, the goodman, check all the other evidence. It's mentioned 6 times in the Bible, a goodman. It's talking about the man at home. He's the good man, the head of the household, the leader, the authority. This lady has no authority in her life. Nothing. No final authority. Anything goes. It says back in chapter 5 that she's movable. Anything she wants to do is okay. There's no rules, no holds bar. I can do whatever I want. This is a cage match. I can do whatever I want. I can pull soap out of my trunks and rub it in your eyes. This is a cage match. We're going down. I'm going to do whatever I can. The goodman's gone. I know when he's coming home. I can do whatever I want to do. Boy, how would you like to be married to something like that? So many of us are. We got these strange women in our lives. Strange women. Unreal. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, there it is again, she forced him. Here's it. I was up, my mom and dad had a motorhome up at a lake. Brother Gus' place up in Straight Lake there, up by Osage. And we went up there to visit once, and one weekend they had a bass tournament going on. All these guys with big fancy bass boats, you know, and, you know, big nitros and, you know, Skeeter boats, big 250-horse Mercs, you know, and they're all lined up at the starting line ready to go for this bass tournament. And there'd be like 4 boats at a time, you know, and they're all jockeying for position to see who's the fastest boat out of the, you know, it's just, you know, anyways. So they go, all right, go. And the first 4 boats, whoo, they'd take off. You know, these things are just unbelievable, the size of these boats and the motors. This is like amazing. You know, they had nice boats. They didn't know how to fish, but they had nice boats, you know. Anyway, you know, they take off and they all get off. And then the last group out, there was this guy. It was so funny. He had a 15-horse Johnson and a 14-foot boat. That's all he had. And he gets, and I'll never forget it. And he said, go. And these guys go, whoo, and here he goes. He goes around the corner, everybody's going for the main lake. And he goes right around the corner in the bay, right out in front of where the resort is. And there's a tree laying in the water there. Beautiful spot for a bass, you know. And I watched him. I watched him for, 45 minutes it must have been. He went over to that tree with a rod and reel, and he just started working it. Just right up by the same spot, jigging it in there. He'd reel it in and throw it back out there and jig it through there again. This went on for a half an hour. I'm like, what in the world? Then all of a sudden, boom, he pulls in this huge bass. I'm like, whoa, look at that. Man, he worked that thing. He worked it till it bit. You got any strange women like that? Huh? They sit there and just throw it out in front of you? Throw it out again? Until you just had enough. Got to get that thing out of here. Or you just get, you're tired of it, and you bite it. You bite the bait, and you go for it. Then you're like, oh. And you know, I want to go that way. No, I want to go this way. No. I'm caught. Caught again. Stupid idiot. I shouldn't have bit that worm that was here last week. Same thing happened. I should have learned. It's like a big bass. And we swim around and we bite all this bait that's thrown in front of us. Strange woman throwing all that bait out. Hey, baby! Throwing out whatever you want to see right out in front of you. Come on. I'll never forget that. Finally, the end result. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Two main words there, slaughter, stocks. There's no coming back from being slaughtered. The stocks, pretty confining. What kind of life is that to lead if we want to serve the Lord? That's where the strange woman is going to lead you. Confinement. Slaughter. I'd love to do something for the Lord, but I just can't shake this thing. Are you in the book? Are you reading the Bible? Are you keeping His words? Are you attending to His commandments? Are you meditating on the Word of God night and day? It's not easy, is it? And the strange woman knows that. She knows you come home from work and you're tired and you're wore out. She knows you got a family at home and you got to tend to, but you're like, oh, I'm just too tired tonight. Are you really? You're too tired to tend to the future? Or is that a strange woman? You're going to go to bed sometime that night. So why not just stay? Maybe you got to stand on your feet the rest of the night so you don't fall asleep. But there's more. There's better things to be doing with our time. We've got to stay occupied. And all the Lord is asking is for us to stay occupied with His Word. What's in your tape deck? What's in your CD deck in your car? What's in your MP3 player? Excuse me. What's in your, what's that, USB port? Is that the new thing? I'm way behind. I have a tape deck in my car. All right? What's in there? Is it something that's going to keep your mind on Christ? Is it something that's going to make your foundation more solid? Is it something that's going to keep you from her? Keep you from that temptation, that strange woman? Is it something like that? Or is it something, maybe it is the strange woman that's in your CD player. Maybe you got a strange woman on your MP3. We need to get rid of that stuff. We need to get rid of it. We need to start serving the Lord. 23, till a dart strike through his liver and his bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his death. The first thing I thought about here, duck hunting. They don't throw dogs out in the water. They don't throw people out in the water with guns. They throw decoys out there. Look like real ducks. The ducks flying over. Oh, hey, there's the guys. Let's go. They don't not. It's for their life. That doesn't mean you're gonna die physically. It may mean you lose an opportunity to witness because you went to follow a strange woman instead. You're going to lose an opportunity to spend with your kids because you followed a strange woman instead. You're going to blow your whole witness at work out of the water because you went out with the guys just one time. One sip. Oh, he drinks. That's all it takes. Oh, he goes to bars. One time you followed a strange woman and everything's blown out of the water. Unbelievable. Strange woman. She's always around. Her end, chapter 5, verse 4, is bitter as wormwood. Verses 24 to 27. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to my words, the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. It's a downward thing. It's never, at the time you're like, this is as good as it gets. What's the old Milwaukee? It doesn't get any better than this. Right. And then you wake up the next morning. Oh, what did I just do? You remember what you did last night? No. Blown out of the water. Nothing you can say, nothing you can do. You've been slaughtered. Can't get it back. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath kept cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Boy, I go to church every Sunday. I've memorized the Old and the New Testament in four different languages. And yeah, but what is it? Is it in your heart or is it in your head? If it's not in your heart, you're not going to live it. You're not going to believe it. And the strange woman's going to play games with you like nothing. You're just that big bass sitting under the log, and she's just going to keep throwing the bait down there until you bite. You're nothing until it gets in here, until it gets in the heart. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Boy, that sounds like a fun time, doesn't it? Sounds like a great time. Hell, boy, fire. Yeah, that'd be great. You ever heard the term hell on earth? You keep following the strange woman, you're going to experience that. You're going to be a lonely, miserable person if you keep following the strange woman. What is it? What's your strange woman tonight? Solomon tells us exactly what we need to do to avoid that strange woman. Keep my commandments. Keep my words. Stay in the Bible. Memorize it. Make it part of it. Make it your life. Don't make it part of your life. Make it your life. To keep you from the strange woman. One last verse. Chapter 23, Proverbs. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. I'm claustrophobic. When I get in an enclosed space and I can't do anything, I start freaking out a little bit. I do. It's not funny. Really. You know, I keep thinking, you know, the worst thing for me, oh, never mind, I'm not going to go into that. A narrow pit. Could you imagine being in a pit like this? Not, you can't go either way. You can't go forward. You can't go backwards. If you keep following a strange woman, you're not going to be able to do anything at all. You're going to be stuck. And the only place to look is up. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the truths in it. What a blessing the Word of God is. Lord, I just pray that we'd read it more. I just pray that we'd study it more. And boy, the days aren't getting any easier out there. And Lord, I just pray that we'd be ready. The waves aren't going to keep hitting the shore. We got to be ready for that tide when it comes in. Help us, Lord, to keep the strange women or combat the strange women with the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity in your name. Amen. All right, we got one more song to sing. I think it's 197. Let's stand and sing 197. All right, thanks for coming tonight. Thanks for coming all the way from Canada to hear me preach tonight. Hey, that's a blessing. You can put that on my resume. All right, thanks for coming. You're dismissed. Thank you.